July 11, 2007, Mahaprabhu Mandir, Melbourne. This is actually Dwadashi. There is on the Panjika, there is no Ekadashi. Where did it go? I have no idea. Yesterday was Dasami. Today is Dwadashi. Ekadashi?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's a Mahadwadashi. Dwadashi is wonderful. Dwadashi is a titi. When I ask the Brajavasis why we don't collect Tulsi on Dwadashi, and one pundit laughed and they said, All the manjaris and sakis are exhausted. They spend all night long with Krishna and they need a break. And I go, wait a minute, that may be anumana, but is it a pramana? And he goes, I don't know. But that's what all the Brajavasis joke and they say, you know. Manjaris need a chuti, they need a vacation, you know. They're exhausted, they need a day off, you know. They work so hard for Krishna on Ekadasi night, you know. I mean, it's hilarious. I said it's hilarious, but that didn't sound like a praman. I have to go visit the Mudwas. The Mudwas, they say more. They say you shouldn't collect, and Padma Purana mentions more about her. It says you should not. The reason why I'm speaking is because Dwadashi is Tulsi's day. It's also a day dedicated to Radhika. It says that you should collect her from the sunrise to noon. Not in the afternoon, not in nightcloth, not after eating, not in the night, not on Chaturdashi, not on Amavasya, not on Purnima. He says, and not on Dwadashi. When I looked at all the knots, you know, when that verse from Padma Purana, and I go, wow, office hours only. We're collecting her on her time, not on our time. Wait a minute. What happens if we need Tulsi? Devotees ask. We need Tulsi for our worship, and sometimes we need it in an emergency. What do? You take Tulsi leaves that have fallen off her body naturally on the floor, you know, dried leaves, sticks from Tulsis that have departed, you break them up, you know, and use them, right? Or, as they do in North India in the Himalayas, you know, in the winter time, because not all the Brahmins got heat, right? And Tulsi may leave. You take a Tulsi stick and you touch it to the boga as an offering of Tulsi. And because wood is pavitra, you can wash it off and use it tomorrow. I have behind my deities a staff that we made out of a branch of Tulsi leaf, artfully carved, you know, staff. And I use it for that reason. Whenever there's a boga offering for Krishna and I don't have the Tulsi leaves, I'll touch it to the boga as an offering of Tulsi. And then that way I put it back behind Krishna. There you go, fellas. Today I finished my puja, you know, and I always kept this yellow and blue outfit for the last month and a half. I was so captivated by its beauty, you know, and it's just so ecstatic. And today my Jauji goes, I want a Ekadasi. I want to dress in a Ekadasi. And I go, but wait a minute. I asked him, I go, but wait a minute. You wear yellow and blue. You know, so how will I adjust that? He said, simple, whatever we wear, you just simply see it as yellow and blue. I thought, this is great. All the devotees who make outfits for the Lord and want to offer their Lord, you know, because I was thinking the Lord wears so many outfits. But his real colors is yellow and blue. Krishna wears yellow. Why? Because Rupa Goswami mentions in Ujjwala Nilamani, you can tell the mentality of the person by the cloth they wear. That Radharani and Dauji, they wear blue. For the same reason, but different bhavas. Because blue reminds them of Krishna. And Krishna wears yellow because it reminds it of his priyali, of Radharani. That's why Krishna wears yellow. This is why. People ask, why is God blue? In the early days of ISKCON, we go, because that's the way it is. You know, God is blue and that's the way it is. You know, but I was never satisfied with that. I thought there's got to be some praman. A while back, my godbrother, Tripurari Maharaj, mentioned that he had heard from Sridhar Maharaj, Parva's godbrother, that Krishna's Shama Varna is the color that excites and increases the Ujjvala Rasa. This is why Krishna's Shama Sundara Rupa is so attractive. He said, that's Shama. And for the boys in Braj, it's Aruna. Aruna is the color of the sun when the sun rises in the morning. The red sun. the red orange sun. Because as soon as the sun breaks in the sky, the happiness of the boys overflows because they think, today we will get our desires filled. We'll go and play with Kanu as we like in the forest. So Aruna is the color of the flavor of the boys because it excites them. It excites them to play with Krishna. You know, it's nice. The gopis, they're simply serving Krishna in the night, mostly. Ratrika, you know. Nishakal Ratrika. They serve Krishna at that time. And the rest of the day, they simply meditate on Krishna all day long. And because they're thinking of Krishna all the time, Krishna thinks of them all the time. Because they contemplate Krishna, therefore Krishna contemplates them. And in the evening time, when they're walking home, then Krishna sends Dauji a little bit ahead so that he can look uninhibited. Ananda Vrindavan Champu says, the gopis, the tall gopis were sent by Mother Yasoda that just see when Nandalal is coming from Gocharan in the forest. And this way, the tallest of the gopi girls would climb up to the top of the Trimshalikas and they would say, Jai, Jai, just see. And they would see the clouds of dust emanating from the cow's hooves in the distance, the big cloud of dust. And this way, they would see that Nandalal is coming. And Nandalal, understanding their attachment, sends Dauji a little bit ahead. And then he looks and catches the sight of the gopis eagerly casting for him, you know, on the top of the Chandrashalikas, and fulfills his desires and theirs also. So it is such a wonderful thing, you know. It's such a wonderful thing, the village of Braj. But it was an interesting instruction. The Lord looks so beautiful in his Ekadasi outfits, and the garlands match, and it's all very charming. But you always remember in your heart of heart the beloved, you know, the Ishtadeva, the Lord of your heart, like this. So it was a very interesting instruction that whatever you see, you know, because that's also there in the Bengali. Sarva jangama deki na deki taramurti sarvatra nijo hoy Ishtadeva spurti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, that wherever a devotee should walk and see, he doesn't see the form of what he's saying. He sees only his worshipable Lord is manifest. So in the same way, the original lordships, Krishna and Radha have so many disguises. Krishna took the form of a sannyasi. Krishna took the form of Shamsaki. Krishna, you know, and Radharani sometimes dresses up as Subal Vesh, like that. She dresses up like Subal in order to go to be with Krishna. Like Radharani takes some disguises sometimes. And Krishna takes disguises sometimes. But that's all right. Whatever the way they dress, whatever disguise they take, we should simply see it in their original form. It's the same thing. Whatever object of vision is there, badli karo, as they say in Hindi, transform it. Whatever it is, just simply contemplate the Lord as He is in the Dhamma. You know, like this. Whether you see Him in this cloth or that cloth, doesn't matter. Just simply see it as yellow and blue, and then it's no problem. It was a wonderful instruction. But any instruction that we get in the heart, immediately I just took it and I said, where else is that stated? It was joyful, you know, to get that intuition in the heart from the Lord. That was joyful, of course, you know. But it made sense. My mind accepted it immediately, but then I thought, where's the other praman? And then I remembered, sarva jangama deki, na deki taramurti. I thought, oh, okay. Whatever we see, Ishtadev Smurti. Fine. I go, yeah, yellow and blue. No problem. Whatever they're wearing yellow and blue. It's easy. It's easy to adjust the mind, you know? It's like that. And if you do that, then anywhere we go, we can see them, you know? We can see on Harinam Sangatan, you can see Gornatai dancing, you know, right in front of you. Just ahead, you know, a half a block away. You know, Gornatai are dancing in front of you. And that's very nice for Harinam Sangatan. It makes Harinam Sangatan nice when you remember Gornatai, you know, dancing. You know, it's nice. It's good, you know. Just meditate on them. Yellow and blue, dancing down the streets of any, you know, wretched city there is, you know. And then it becomes very blissful. No matter what's going on, you know. Nachayar marmon, nitai chaitanya bole nachayar marmon, you know. Just dance in our mind, dance in our mind, dance in our mind, you know. In the same way, may the Lord's always dance in our minds, yellow and blue. Like that, the original colors, you know. The way they look in the spiritual world, the way Shastra says they look, irregardless of whatever disguise Krishna's got. You know, Krishna's God or Radha's God, whatever disguise. Purnima, they wear Purnima because when white, they melt into the moonshine very nicely. Or on Amavasya, they wear black because there's no moon. In this way, with the black there, then nobody will see Radha Krishna in the forest because they disappear into the darkness very nicely. And this is why Radha Krishna adopted black outfit is a disguise. That's all. Radha Krishna has just adopted this disguise for their lila, for their happiness, right? That's all. So the deities wear different colored cloths for their happiness, right? But the devotees simply say it yellow and blue, no matter what. Whatever they wear, yellow, blue. Great. And then you'll always be happy. It was a great instruction. It was a great instruction. Because I've been struggling with it, you know. I was struggling with it a little bit because they're so captivating. Yellow and blue are so captivating. Who could want to see anything else? Who could want to see any other color? You know, like that. But evidently, he likes to wear other colors sometimes. So it's our duty to offer him the other colors. But in our mind, we'll simply say, whatever color it is, it's yellow and blue. Just like, and also remember that when Radharani is coming back from her Leela with the Lord, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning or something, she's coming back from the Nikunja with the Lita Devi, and she's got Krishna's chadar on that she took by mistake. It happens every day, you know. Then Jyotilal or Mukura, I forgot either one of the two, you know, her grandmothers, you know, they go, Vrishabhanu Nandini, where did you get that? Where did you get that yellow cloth? You know, where did you get that yellow chadar? And Lalita Devi, and Radharani is just, she only had an hour and a half of, you know, she only had an hour and a half in the Kunja. And I think an hour and a half, maybe 3 hours, that's all she got. She had 1.5 hours in Krishna's arms. And another, and the Manjari's got another hour and a half, you know, somewhere in the Kunja. Basically, they only get about 3 hours at night, if that, you know. So Radharani's eyes were completely red with sleepiness. She didn't even, she couldn't, you know, she could hardly walk straight. Lalita Devi had to help her, you know, escort her. She could hardly walk straight. What did the speaker, you know, respond? So when Jyoti goes, where did you get that yellow, where did you get that yellow chadar? Huh? What? Lalita goes, oh, you blind old lady, can't you see that it's actually blue? The sun is just shining on it. You can't see that the sun is shining too brightly and it just looks yellow, but it's actually blue. Maybe, you know. And then Lalita goes, gee, thanks, Lalita. And then at breakfast time, Dhanishta, Mother Yasoda's assistant, who is Radharani's friend, they exchange the cloth. She changed Nandalal's cloth. Mother Yasoda, when she wakes Krishna up, she goes, Krishna, what are you doing with Balarama's chadar? Hilarious. And Krishna goes, huh? What? Mother Yasoda also, by Yoga Maya, she goes, what are you doing with Balarama's chadar? Huh? What? But wait a second. It isn't Balarama's chadar because it's too light. It's a little feminine. You know, it's a little light blue. Anyway, Mother Yasoda does like that. Huh, Mother? Whatever you say is certainly right, Mother. Like, Krishna says, whatever you say, Mother, certainly right, you know? Huh, what? Krishna didn't even notice it. And it happens every single day. They don't notice it. They just, the chadars are exchanged. And neither of these transcendental personalities know it. Because they're actually one person who has become two, you know? As Surav Damodar says. Ekadma nasputtamapi deya bedam kato to. Chaitam yatyam prakatamarana tadvayam chaitam aptam. Radha bhava jyuti sovilitam nomi Krishna sarupam. Yes, Prabhuji?
What is the same one with the white color?
Huh? Pardon me?
What is the same one with the white color? What is the same about the white color?
White. No, Purnima, the Lord wears white. Because it's Chandra Purnima, the white of the full moon, right? The idea of the white is that Radha and Krishna, in the moonshine, in the full moonshine, they will melt into the full moonshine because the brightness of Chandra Prabha, the brightness of the full moon is so powerful that Radha Krishna will melt into the moonshine and not be detected because it's just too bright. There are some white figures. Who are they? We can't see. It's just too bright, you know. Too bright for the eyes. They will, because they have to worry about their superiors at any time. In Vrindavan, they have to worry about their superiors. Radha and Krishna always long to me, but they're always worried about what their superiors may think. And this drama, Govinda Vallabha Natakam, this is why Radha and Krishna always talk with double language. The Sanskrit can be broken in Sandhi and it has double meanings. One, for the superiors, the external meaning of the Sanskrit, and another one, internal meaning of the Sanskrit. So it takes a very good Sanskrit to figure out what is Radha Krishna actually meaning when they speak like this. They speak in double language. Very common. And some of it is funny double language too. You know, like the famous story Dinabandhu was telling me about at Koshi Kalan. Koshi. Koshi is a Prakrit of Kaha Asi, who is there. You know? So once Radharani went there for some reason, to Koshi Kalan for some reason. And I don't know, some function, some of her friends, or God knows. But Krishna wanted to see her. And then, so he was knocking on her window pane in the evening time. Koshi, who is there? And he goes, Sham! Sham means a cloud. Clouds mean rain. And rain means, well, the ladies are heating milk for their babies to drink. So, we don't want any rain now. Go away, Sham. When the babies have had their milk and they're all right, then you can rain. But don't rain now. Go away. We don't run. Knock, knock. Koshi. Chakri. Chakri. We don't need any pots. Chakri is a potter. You know, he spins earth and makes pots. We got enough pots. We don't need any pots. Go away. You know. He goes, knock, knock. Koshi. Madhu. Madhu. Madhu means a bee. Bees sting. We don't want any bees to sting us. Go away. whatever Krishna. And each time Krishna was knocking on the window pane, he was more and more eager, you know? And he kept saying, and whatever he said, Radharani took the Sanskrit and twisted it another way, you know? And this way, she was playing hard to get. And this way, Krishna was getting more and more insistent. It's very interesting. But it's just very, very typical, you know, with in the Sanskrit in Vrindavan. Amongst the kavis, that they will have, they quote Radha and Krishna with double language. Very good. Anyway, that's what they said about white. That's what they have about white, Purnima. The Lord looks very charming on Purnima. And sometimes when it is called a blue moon, when for some strange reason, the nakshatra, there was two Purnimas back to back. That is called a blue moon. At that time, the Lord wears Purnima outfit 2 days in a row. They wear a white outfit 2 days in a row. The Lord's in Braj. Okay? Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sarvashtabdi Piyusha, Sarva Vedika Satvala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Loke Kadrik Prada, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavatam Prabho Kali Dvantorata Aditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita, Puramananda Pataya, Prema Varshakshadayate, Sarvada Sarvisevyaya, Sri Krishnaya Namostate, Madeka Bandhu Madsangana Madhguru Madmahadana, Madnastaraka Madhabhagi Madananda Namostate, Asadu tasadu dathaya nati nechu chatharaka hanga muncha gadacha namam premna vrat kanta yaspura. Yastve talilaya. Oh, what is it? This is it? Yeah. Vishwam.
Yastve talilaya vishwam.
Srijat atya avatishwara.
Srijat atya avatishwara.
Sahi jatak svasetu nam.
Sahi jatak svasetu nam.
Gopithaya yadushyaja.
Gopithaya yadushyaja.
Yastveta lilaya bishvam.
Yastveta lilaya bishvam.
Sajat adyavitishvara.
Sajat adyavitishvara.
Sahi jatak svasetu nam.
Sahi jatak svasetu nam.
Gopithaya yadushyaja.
Gopithaya yadushyaja.
Yastveta lilaya vishvam. Sajat yatya vyatishvara. Sahi jatak svasetu nam. Gopithaya yadushyaja. Yastveta lilaya vishvam. Srajat yatya vyatishvara.
Sahi jataka
svasetu nam. Gopithaya yadushyaja. Maharajis? Yastveta lilaya vishvam. Srajat yatya vyatishvara. Sahi jataka svasetu nam. Gopithaya yadushyaja. Yastveta lilaya vishvam. Srajat yatya vitishvara. Nahi jataka svasetu nam. Gopithaya yadushyaja. Synonyms, yaha,
yaha,
who,
to,
and,
etat,
etat,
this,
lilaya,
as his play,
vishvam,
universe,
sujati,
sends forth,
ati,
devours,
avati,
protects,
ishvara,
the supreme controller.
Saha,
he,
indeed,
jatak,
born,
swa,
his own,
setunam,
of the laws,
it
says of the laws, it's also mean bridge or an embankment. In the purport, it mentions bridge or embankment. Gopithaya, for the protection.
Yadushu,
among the Yadus.
Ajak,
the unborn Lord. Translation
and
purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimati Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The unborn personality of Godhead, supreme controller, creates, maintains, and then devours this universe simply as His play, took birth among the Yadus to preserve His own laws. As stated in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 6, chapter 3, verse 19, Dharamantu Sakshat Bhagavata Pranitam. Religion is a law established by God. End quote. The word setu means a boundary or limit. It's laws in the sense that it is the boundary. This is how far you can go. Your freedom is this far. Like that. Boundary or limit. As in the case of a dike, earth is raised up on both sides of a river or canal so that the water will not deviate from its proper path. Similarly, God establishes laws so that people will follow them, can peacefully progress along the path home back to Godhead. It's without deviation. These laws, which are meant to guide human society, are thus called setu, a bridge. The laws are a bridge. The laws are regulations. The laws are limits, boundaries. A further note on the word setu, earth that is raised up to separate agricultural fields or to form a causeway or bridge is also called setu. Thus, in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam uses the word setu to indicate the bridge Lord Ramchandra built to Sri Lanka. Since the laws of God act as a bridge to take us from material life to the liberated spiritual life, this additional sense of the word setu certainly enriches its use here. Vrindavane ramana reti pasiddha bhumo tatrapi krishna balarama supada mule jnanam param parama krishna sudharma chuktam dandastu deva prabhupada namo namaste saṃsāra dukkha jaladau paditasya kāma krodādi nakrama karaika valikritasya durvāsana nigaritasya nirāsayasya chaitanya chandramama dehi padavalambam jaladāra shashivāra no gopavesha kishoro saha chāra gana vrindai kridamāna vrijesho natta barajata vesho nila pitam varādyo jagata janana hetu rāma krishno nato smi Panchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindubheva cha paritanam pavanevya vishnubhebhyo namo nama. Panchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindubheva cha paritanam pavanevya vishnubhebhyo namo nama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Spiritual laws. The laws act as the bridge to take us from material life to liberate spiritual life. This addition, word of the setu, enriches its use here. I've seen the word dharma setu before. The bridge of dharma, religious principles. The laws given. Dharma tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So they've used it dharma here. Religion is the law established by God. Setu is a boundary or limit. Dharma setu. I've seen that usage. Dharma Setu. The occupational duty of it's nice. Now, the whole thing is this. Since this whole chapter is about Krishna's sporting with his consort in joking words, it's interesting here that this word yasteta lilaya bishrang chajat yat yat avitishwara, that as a play Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Kiridakshai Vishnu, as a play, as their Leela. They're manifesting this cosmos by their desire. So, Leelaya, we have to understand the word Leelaya is interesting here, that the Lord, as a play, in his playfulness, he does some things. Right, he creates. And in his playfulness, he ate mud and brudge, you know? And Mother Jasoda demanded him to open his mouth, so he did. And within his mouth, all the universes were existed there. And Krishna was playing. But within his mouth, all the universes were there, which surprised Mother Jasoda so much. Even when Krishna's playing, he's still his power as the Lord of the universes, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator, the source of everything that be. Still exists, even when he's joking. Now, the interesting is Dharma Setu. His laws are boundaries and limits. So it's like an interesting thing by this second shloka. It's going to give us a little bit of an indication. What are we going to expect from this chapter? Not only is Krishna joking with his wife, but his wife is going to describe it in terms of Shastra, in terms of the power of Sri, you know, the brilliant, effulgent beauty of her words, of knowledge, will spring forth as she describes Krishna's words in many eloquent ways, eloquent poetical ways. So it's Dharma Setu. Krishna spoke like a Leelaya, you know, just in a joking way, to have fun with his lovely consort. But she took it very seriously. Her veneration for her pati was 100%. Even when he was speaking sweetly with her, his captivating words, captivating her ears, or shocking her in any case, she did not lose one drop of her veneration for her pati. And that veneration is wonderful in terms of her glorification of the wonder of Krishna in transcendental knowledge. She took whatever Krishna said in words and described it very wonderfully. Dharma Setu. It's interesting. Now elsewhere, let me describe how that works elsewhere. In the Bhagavatam, as I was telling you yesterday about quoting from chapter 23 of the 10th canto about the Lord's relation with the Dvija Brahmanis and how he showed them mercy. Now, what is very interesting is if you compare, because the Dvija Brahmanis were the Chelas, they were the disciples of the Gopis. The Gopis were glorifying Krishna and Rama. When the Dvija Brahmanis would buy yogurt or they would buy garlands or whatever, in this way they associated with the Gopikas. They, Gopikas, out of their mouth, they simply glorified Nandanandan. Like that. So, this way, the Dvija Brahmanis became their chelas. They became their disciples in developing rati for Nandanandan. So they did so. They developed rati. However, they remained aristocratic ladies. They remained Brahmanis. So afterwards, when as their rati increased, and when they heard from the cowherd boys that Krishna and Balaram are nearby, and that they're hungry, and they want something, then immediately they took the foodstuff from the yajna, and they brought it to Krishna, four kinds of foodstuff, very much. And they were forbidden, actually, by their brothers, by their relatives, by their pati, and that this is not proper, you should not go. But the power of hearing about the glories of Krishna for such a long time went out, and they did it anyway. And because they transgressed their brothers, their fathers, their friends, and their patis, by going to Krishna anyway, they were thinking that now they're going to neglect us. We became swatantra, we became independent now. We're an independent wife. We're not dependent on our pati. That they may neglect us or reject us. That was the fear. Anyway, even if they reject us, we will stay in the forest. That's all. And we will just simply become Vandevis, I said. Because Brahmanas are considered to be Naradeva. Almost like a king was, Naradeva. They're like Devas. They're like divine manifestation, demigods walking on the earth previously. So these Dvija Brahmanis said, fine, if our patis don't take us back, then we'll simply become Tapasvis and become Vandevis. Will become residents of the forest. And we will simply live, they told Krishna, on the Tulsi garlands that you previously wore on your chest and was kicked away by your beloved as she embraced you. You know, we'll live on that, Tulsi leaves. You know, Prabhupada used to say that there was a joke when he was a young boy, when the brahmacharis would go out and do madhukari for the mud. They would say, our Gurudev is so austere, he just lives on Tulsi leaves. You know, and the baniyas, and the businessmen would go, wow, really? You know, and they would give donations or something like that. They go, wow, what a sadhu, what a yogi. Wow, and these are disciples of that yogi. Wow, what kind of blessings I'll get by serving a tapasya like that. Wow, so they would give some donations, Prabhupada, it was a white lie, Bhaktisiddhanta really didn't live, on Tulsi leaves only, but some disciple did that, It's kind of a scam they got away with, But it was interesting when you read Bhaktisiddhanta's book, this book about Samaguru and Jyoti Shekhar's reminiscences, he told about far out scams, like some of the godbrothers, they did. Some godbrothers were very, very absorbed, and their madhukari was very wonderful. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very much loved it, And other devotees' madhukari was scandalous, And Bhaktisiddhanta hated it, One story was pretty hilarious. It comes to mind that one sannyasi wanted to get some donations from the market. So he went to the collector. The collector is the city's... collector is like a city administrator. Okay? So he went to the collector and he said, I would like you to go with me in the market, for raising some subscriptions for the month. I can't be impartial with your organization. I'm a collector. I have to be impartial. I have to be, I have to be equal poised for everybody. So I can't favor your organization over any other organization in terms of the merchants in the town. I'm sorry. Well, okay. Then can I borrow your car? I want to go to the station, railway station. Oh, sure. You can use my car to go to the station. No problem. To take you home? Sure. So what he did is he used, evidently, they'd made some arrangement with a driver or something, before I go to the station, I got to do a little work. So he stopped and parked the collector's car in the middle of the bazaar. Okay? And he got out and he went around. So all the merchants saw the collector's car. And they go, wow, this guy must have the blessings of the collector. You know? So they were all afraid. And they all gave donations of, you know, bundis and jackets and clothes and coats and everything. He got tons of stuff. You know, and when he came back home, you know, and as you know, telephone, telefax, and teleroom, or whatever it is, you know, so the shit hit the fan, the knowledge hit the fan and was blown all over the ashram, you know. As they say in America, when the shit hits the fan, it blows all over the place. You know, so the knowledge of this scam, you know, because the guy was saying, hey, look what I got. Where'd you get all that stuff? You know, so then, you know, he was telling me, anyway, I did like this, and then it was fun, you know. And you know, so the knowledge of the scam, you know, went all throughout the whole ashram, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta became infuriated. This Madhukari is not Sattvic. He said, tomorrow you go down and you go to every single one of those persons. He sent a whole team of brahmacharis to go shop to shop with all those items, and you ask them, did you give this willingly? Or were you happy to donate this? If not, you can have it back, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta was furious. He said, that Madhukari is not at all proper. You should not extort from the businessman like that. Not very funny stories like that. As I told you yesterday about the Vaishnava, they went outside the mud, the Chaitanya mud, and they just did Sankirtan in that one spot for an hour and a half. And that sannyasi was in such ecstasy of chanting the holy name that he didn't know. And he said, Maharaj, we went all the way to Navadvipa and came back. Yeah, we went all the way to Navadvipa and came back. You know, he had no idea that they just went outside the door and just stayed there and chanted for an hour and a half and went back in. He was so much in ecstasy with the holy name, he just not even aware where they were, you know. And then some devotees were like that. Some devotees could do Jagaran. They could chant day and night and they would never know what time it was, you know. Devotees would have to come and invite them to the program or invite them to something because they were not externally aware. They were so absorbed in the holy name. Day and night they would chant. One devotee, the history was, Narahari, he was one of the assistants of the temple commander in the Chaitanya Mutt. Narahari, he was a very old devotee. He left his body on the day that Mahatma Gandhi got assassinated. Now, Narahari was a very famous Vaishnava, they said, because he was extremely selfless. No one knew what time he woke up in the morning because he was awake before everybody else in the mud was. And nobody knew what time he took rest because everybody else was asleep and he was still awake. So that was the nature of that Vaishnava. You know? So it's very interesting when you hear stories like this. These are simply God brothers of Prabhupada. That's all. What kind of people they were. You know, what kind of the older generation they were. No one knew what time they woke up and no one knew what time they took rest. And they were so selfless like a father. You know, they were so loving and affectionate like a father. What Vaishnavas. So, Lilaya, the Supreme Lord, said, Eta, Eta, Yastveta, Lilaya, Bishwam. He's Shujit Avatishwara. He's manifesting the entire universe just like a playful game. So, this is an introduction that this pastime the Lord wanted to have a playful game with his priyali, with his wonderful consort, who was so devoted, so venerate, and such an emblem of all wonderful qualities as a wife. She personally served Krishna, even though she had sons and maidservants. And not only her, but because she was the primary consort, she was the primary queen. All the other queens of Dwarka accepted the same bhava in the sense that they followed in her footsteps in many regards. You know, Rukmini, the favorite queen, and all of them did the same thing in their relationship with their lord. They served also, even though they all had servants. The maid servants of Rukmini simply acted as gophers. Bring me this, bring me that, and I'll use it for putti. This is also described in Sharanagati, in the bhajan. In the Anukul section of Sharanagati called Radhakunda Tata Kunja Kutir, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about this wonderful kunja. And he says that in his form, that my Saki, who is my Yuteshwari, will give me orders. And she will give me camphor to grind, and I'll grind it. Camphor and make chandan paste with camphor and I'll give it to her. And when she requires it for serving the divine couple, she will ask for it and I will give it to her. And when I give it to her for her use for the divine couple, then She will smile at me and become very affectionate to me because I did that service. Then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings and he goes, that, Suno Sundari, he said, you will make garlands that will enchant Radha Krishna. And it says, and the manjaris will be the jewels of the garland. It says there in that bhajan. And this way, you can make these garlands, and I'll give it. You give it to me, and I'll place it on their necks, and you will watch from afar with wonder, as the lordships enjoy your garlands. You see, Shuru Sundari. Now you can stay here in this in my kunja, and my cottage there is yours. Yeah? And when I ask for it, you'll give me camphor, sandalwood paste mixed with camphor that you will grind, and I will offer it to their lordships. And when you give it to me, then I will give myself to you. She said, knowing me to be yours. The idea is, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the last bhajan is, when hearing this, Shuni Vachan, he said, hearing this vachan of the Sakhi, then Bhaktivinoda said, I bow down at the lotus feet of that Sakhi, accepting that order. It's like that. So it's all wonderful, the nature of Braj. Is that we simply want to become dasa, dasa, and dasa, as Mukunda Mala says. Tada brittya brittya parichalaka brittya brittya brittasya brittya iti mam smara lokanatha. Please consider myself to be the servant of 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 your servant. May this thought of yours, O Lord, be my mainstay of my existence. He said like that. It's such an ecstatic shloka there. Mukunda Mala is really good. Good chanting, good hearing, good memorizing. Maja janmana falamida madukaita bari maja pratania madanugra isha eva tvara britya britya parichalaka britya britya britasya britya. Great Sanskrit. Far out, you know. Alam 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 ekam praninam patakanam. It's sufficient, it is sufficient, it is sufficient. Certainly the holy name of Krishna is sufficient. You know, whether your life there is falling on the ground, whether you have all desires or no desires at all, if somebody calls out the name of Lord Krishna with great happiness, then liberation, material wealth and happiness come in the hand of that Vaishnava. Great verse. Oh boy, so much interesting stuff. You know, so the Lord plays. We should, the reason why it's saying that, we should know that even if the Lord is playing, it's powerful playing. Like, because the Lord, the reason why I mentioned about the Dvija Brahmani is because he told them, but my dear ladies, you can't stay here in the forest. You know, first of all, we're coward boys. And you're Brahmanis. And what will the public say? You know, so you can't consort with us. For our consorts are gopi girls. They say like that. Krishna Balaram said like that. But that's all right. We'll just stay here as Vaimdevis, and we'll just simply live on Tulsi leaves that, you know, when your beloveds throw off that Tulsi garland that you wore, you know, and they kick it away with their foot, you know, as they hug you, then we'll simply live on those Tulsi leaves only. You know? But Krishna, no, you don't need to do that. What will the public think, you know? You just go ahead and go back to your husbands. No, but our husbands have neglected us, and they'll not take us back. No, 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 I assure you. When you go back, your husband will be very happy to see you, and they'll surely accept you. Then Krishna says, a very famous verse, Shravanam darshanam dhyana damai bhavo anukirtanat anatatha sanikarsena pratiyata tuto grihom. And he says the exact same shloka. Exact. This is chapter 22. I think it could be 23:33. That it's the same shloka is in 29:27. The exact same shloka. Any shloka that's quoted twice in Bhagavatam, any alliteration, it must be underlined for emphasis. Krishna told the same thing to the gopis too. That it is by shravanam, by hearing our pastimes, darshanam, by looking at our forms, dhyana, and meditating on us, and mai bhavo anukirtana, following the chanting of my moods, It means the Tikkacharyas. Anukirtana. The Acharyas speak it once, the disciples speak it twice. It is Anukirtana. It means what has already been sung by them. And Natatasani Garshena, and not by physical proximity that you achieve us after the departure of this body. Pratyata Tatogriyam, go back to your house. Pratyata, go back. It means go back to your sadhana. Go back to the same practice. Pratyata. So the Dvija Brahmanis were the disciples of the gopis, and they said, well, they had no choice. Krishna defeated them and told them, your husband will definitely take you back. Don't worry about it. They haven't renounced you. They haven't seen that your coming to us was arrogance, or although you transgressed their order, with retrospect, they understood that your advancement was very great, and therefore their transgression has been understood in that way. So don't worry. Your husband will be very glad to see you when you come back. They have not renounced you. Go back. So saying all these reassuring words, the Dvija Brahmanis were forced. They had no way out. You know? Now, and first of all, when Krishna had said that to them, they go, Maivam vibho naihareti nrishamsham. He said, this is not fair. You should not talk like this to us, because we're completely surrendered unto you. We've given up everything and come out here in the forest. We want to be with you. You know? But Krishna gave that instruction from 33 onwards, defeating all their arguments and allaying their concerns and anxieties. So when he promised them, Pratyato Tatogriyam, now go back home, you know, they didn't have any choice. But what's interesting, when you look at the 10th canto, 29th chapter, you know, like this, the gopis did the same thing. They actually had the same line, the same pada. Naivam vibho nayarati nrishamsham. Don't. Oh, this is not fair. You should not talk like this. We've given up everything to you, and you should not neglect us in this way. The gopis said, it's interesting. It's the exact same line. The exact same line. And the Dvija Brahmani said the same thing. What's the distinction? The gopis are liberated. When Krishna speaks to them in joking form, they just say, Krishna's just saying that, but he says so many things. We don't need to follow that. They just stuck to their guns. The gopis stuck to their opinions anyway. And we've come out here to the forest. We want to dance with you. And that's the end of it. We're not going back. You see? So Krishna submitted to the gopis. But it's very interesting. The gopis are eternally liberated. The Dvija Brahmanis were not. The gopis had given up any sense of their abhimana. They were only servants of Krishna. The Dvija Brahmanis still kept the idea that they were Brahmanatmam. They still kept the mood that they were Brahmanis. They had not completely surrendered that completely. And therefore, that's why they went back. They had not completely finished with the bodily conception, whereas the gopis were already freed from it. And therefore, another aspect of it is that the gopis were still there by yoga maya. They were still there in the sides of their husbands and everybody else. So there was no question of yoga maya had already fogged things over, so that their husbands and everybody thought that they were by our sides anyway. They didn't know that in the spiritual bodies, the gopis had left and gone into the forest to be with Krishna. You see? So because yoga maya made that expert arrangement, so therefore, the gopis didn't have anything to worry about. They had already surrendered to Krishna. They were ready to transgress his order. Because Krishna speaks in joking all the time. Now what's interesting is that in this chapter, chapter 30, chapter 32, especially chapter 32, when the song after the Gopi Gita is over in chapter 31, chapter 32, when Krishna appears again out of his causeless mercy and gives the gopis darshan, and they all spread their saris out and make a nice sitting place for Krishna, and Krishna sits there, and then they all, according to their relationship with Krishna, relate to him, and he asks him many pointy questions, you know, many pointy questions, that we've surrendered everything to you, tell us the nature of friendship, you know, and then Krishna speaks very artfully to them. And what is very interesting is that if you analyze what every word that Krishna says from his lotus mouth, even in jest, even in humor, you can look at that shloka and you can see some that it applies to somebody. For ordinary terms of mundane morality, like when he was telling, you gopi girls, surely you have very nice young children at home, and your parents and everything will be very worried about you. It is very inauspicious for a girl to be out in the forest at night, you know, like this. And all these things were all basically Dharma Shastric statements that Krishna said. So it is true. Anything that Krishna said is not a lie. It is true. But not for them. It didn't apply to the gopis. They were already transcendental to the bodily conception of life. It didn't apply to them. It's true for some cases. It's true for some people. And that's the wonder of Bhagavatam. The instruction is powerful. But those that are on the bodily conception of life, then the dharmic statements, the dharma shastric statements that Krishna is speaking, as part of his arguments to try to convince the gopis to go back home and not stay with him in the forest, are valid for some people, but not for the gopis. That's the idea. And therefore it's considered a joke. In the same way, you will see the same thing in this wonderful chapter. Although Krishna was joking with his primary queen, Rukmini, simply to make her angry, for the purpose of making her angry only, then when she faints and Krishna picks her up off the floor with four hands, hugging her to his chest, smoothing her wrinkles of her hair, and bringing her to consciousness again by the touch of his lotus hands, then she understands. And he admits to her that my dear beloved, I just simply wanted to see you angry, and I didn't realize that you would take it so deeply. You know, with your pure love and affection, you have purchased me. When she understood the sweet, compassionate words of Sri Krishna, that she understood that my Lord has not neglected me or rejected me, then she sighed a sigh of relief and began her retribution. And her statements, which are so profound. Many of the words are very profound. From a personal platform, you can see it in terms of her sambandha, her relationship with her beloved husband, as well as from a transcendental perspective, from a knowledgeable perspective, because knowledge comes from her. Knowledge comes from Sri, you know. From a chit platform of transcendental knowledge. Powerful, powerful statements. So every one of them, of course, memorizable. Every one of them, because they affect from so many different paradigms. Sri Krishna's words, even in joke, they're very powerful and they're truthful for kala, desha, and patra, time, place, and circumstance. And the same thing goes with Srimati Rukmini Devi's words. They're all Dharma Setu. Because there's the bridge. The words are the bridge by which we'll cross over the path of birth and death. These words. The words of Rukmini Devi. The words of Bhagavatam. The words of the gopis. The words of the Dvija Brahmanis. Krishna's words towards them. All of it. Transcendental. Beyond the pale of birth, of birth and death. Beyond the pale of material existence. And even in Krishna's joking, it's valid for somebody. It may not be valid for those that are transcendental, like the gopis. It's joke for them, but it's valid for us. Therefore, Krishna never lies, although he lies. You know? Although he lies, like any Vrijavasi does. At the same time, Krishna doesn't lie. It's interesting, isn't it? Krishna lies. Krishna jokes. Krishna's got humor. Where does humor come from? But even in humor, it has deep meaning. And that's Bhagavan. So I want to thank all the devotees that have tolerated our existence for the last 5 days. Four. I came here on the night. That was, I think I'm never going to forget, you know, July 7th, you know, for a long time, you know. I don't think Ananda Maharaj will either. It was a funny situation. I had the great joy of meeting Ananda Maya and his family. You know, they were on the same flight as me, you know. And very effulgent. Very effulgent child, very effulgent daughter, very nice wife. I can understand. Really good devotee, actually, Ananda Maya, and all like this. And I look forward to the Liverpool Rath Yatra that's going to be there on the 14th, 15th, something like that. and I'm going for that at his invitation, and that'll be very interesting. I was very happy to see him. His children were very effulgent. Very respectful, very sweet, and we were all together, you know, an hour and a half late. Got here at the lovely time about, 1:30 or something lovely in the morning. So I've been here since July 7th, and it's been a joy. And I was so happy, you know, that my heart was sorry. You know, I didn't get a chance to be with Gana yesterday dancing in the kirtan, and I got his sangha today, so that pacified my heart. You know, I got to see Prana Prabhu, which is an extraordinary, you know, gift. And I got to see, you know, Satyananda Krishna and his beloved new wife. You know, both of them were very dear to the heart, and I was hoping like anything I'd see them. You know, so I was such a great joy. I get to see all of you. I got to see Devaki Mata like that, and such a joy. This visit has become such a joy. I get to see a lot of old friends and gain inspiration from each and every one of your sincerity in serving Varnatai, Radhavallabha, Shalagram, and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. All of you are wonderful. Huh? Keep this place shining like the crest jewel of all the temples in Australia that it is. And keep friendship. Keep friendship with each and every one of you. Keep the names in your tongue. Huh? And whatever you see, whatever you get, it's like Gundicha Marjan. You know, they received one matka by chanting Hare Krishna, and they gave a matka by chanting Hare Krishna. You know, the more we keep Krishna's and Garanga's names on our tongues, wherever we are, whenever we go, whatever we do, nothing will bewilder us in this material world. We'll cross the Dharma Setu of the Lord's words, the Dharma Setu of Rukmini Devi's words. You know, powerful, piercing the heart and making the bridge by which the waters of our existence, the laws of the limits of our limits, our parameters of our behavior will be judged by Shastras, bounded by Shastras, parameters of behavior, bounded by Shastra Praman, you know, by Guru Vachana, by Sadhu Vachana. In this way, our behavior will be there. And Krishna, Sundar, Gornitai, and Radhavallabha, and Jagannath, and they're always ready and willing to reciprocate with their servants who know nobody but them. Huh? And if we call out to them, they'll come, and they're a wonderful holy name to bathe us with happiness. And if we always remember them, then they'll always take care of us. Just like a turtle, you know, is in the water of the sea meditating on her eggs. In the same way, the Lord says, "Oh Padmaja, Padmaja." Is he the Lakshmi Devi? Who was that? Padmaja? Lakshmi Devi? Who is it? Who did he spoke the words to? His beloved wife, Padmaja, who has taken birth from the lotus. Brahma? Who is he speaking to? I don't know. Padmaja, who has taken birth from the Padma. See the Brahma? This could be Lakshmi, could be Sita Devi. You know, I want to find out. Who is it? Oh, Padmaja. Wonderful. The names in the Shastras. All these wonderful words will be our Dharma Setu by which we can cross the ocean of birth. Sadhu, sadhu da dayan, ati nichu chatarika. Those that are not sadhus, who do not know how to behave properly, when they read Bhagavatam, they'll behave properly. Even they have the power of picking up even the most fallen person. Therefore, never leave us. Always stay in our tongue, within our heart, along with love for Krishna. Sanatana Goswami prays. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay, couple questions. If there's any. Yes, Prabhu.
There is dual meaning. That's why non-devotees cannot understand that. Huh? Non-devotees cannot understand that, and they can't interpret properly. That's why that is it okay? So my understanding is, in Bhagavad Gita, it is also dual coded like Sanskrit. So that's why non-devotees cannot understand that and cannot interpret properly. So that's my understanding. Is it all right or?
No, they can't understand it. It mentions in the 15th chapter in the Purushottam Yoga. Is that nainam pasyan achetasa. Those who are achetasa, whose mind is not in union with the Supreme, they cannot see what is going on. It is not because of the Sanskrit. It is because achetasa, their mind is not absorbed in the Supreme. They're not engaged in the Supreme. But our business as devotees is to try to give them a drop of that service. Just like I remember once I went on Sangirtan once in 1997, 94, something. I was in Cape Town, you know, and I was doing Gitas, you know, the pocket Gitas, you know. And so I handed a Gita to one person. I said, "This is the Song of God, You know? It's sung. We'll tell you how to sing it, okay? You know? And I just opened up a verse, you know, and I just saw, you know, that it was in, you know, Nidama Namoha Jita Sangha Dosham Adhyatmanit Yavanavrita Kamaha Advanvaivi Mukta Sukaduka Sangai Gachantya Muda Paramavyayam Tat. And the next one. Natodaba Shayate Suryo Nasa Shankona Pavuka Yadigataba Nadavaratante Tadadama Paramama. Like that. That's how it's sing in India. You go, really? How much? You know, 10 rand, you know, buy a book, you know. You know, you know. You, the point is, show them how to do it. You know, they, don't tell me, show me. You know, that's what they always say, demonstrate it. Well, we'll demonstrate it for you. You know, it's like that. And if they're actually attracted to the devotees, they'll come. The point is, Prabhupada used to fan a spark, you know. A little, they have a little service attitude, just bring them in. Come on, it's all right. You know, and like sometimes the deities do that also. Like I saw, like Radhalandaneeswara, they look just like the upright British boy and British girl. You know, you know. Don't worry, you're like us. Come and join our family. You know, like that. Or Radha Parishishwara, they look so French. You know, Radha and Krishna look so French. You know, so any French boy goes, oh, we're like them. They're like us. We got nothing to fear. This place is great. You know. Sure, join our family. Krishnera samsara koro chariyani char. Join Krishna's family, giving up all nonsense work. So it's a question of packaging. It's not compromising. You're packaging it so they can swallow it. Just like a veterinarian. The donkey has got some disease. Doesn't want to take the medicine. Now, force him. You got to get 5 guys. 2 guys to hold the legs, 2 guys to hold the hands, 1 guy to open up his mouth, another one to pull, cram it down his throat, and just take feedback from the donkey. You know, the eyes are bludgeoning, like, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? You know, and they cram the medicine down the donkey's throat, and he goes, poot, and spits out half of it. Great, great job. Your forcing did a great job, right? But nowadays, they got the mood, you know, in zoos to create a very nice scene so the animals don't feel withdrawal. You know, they don't feel inhibited like they're in a jail or something. You know, the animals feel natural, you know, natural surrounding. You know what I mean? So what they try to do is say, okay, now what does this donkey like to eat? You know, so they take a carrot, they hollow out the carrot, they put the castor oil in the carrot, put the top back on. Here you go, fella. This way, you know, like that. Here you go, fella. In this way, the donkey will eat the carrot, right? And carry the medicine. Great. So the same way, Prabhupada or God, brothers, everything is packaging. You're not changing the philosophy. Package it for them. Then if they like it, then bring them in here and slowly, slowly train them. Love them, train them. Try to understand how you were when you walked in the door for the first time. So it's not because of the Sanskrit. Sanskrit for me, when I was a kid, I thought, it's phonics! I did that when I was 6 years old. Come on, you take one syllable, stick it next to the next guy. You know, his name is John, and his name is Yudhisthira. Big deal, you know? You know, when I read Krishna book for the first time, my mind was never blown by Sanskrit terms at all. That's his name! Later on we found out the name was given according to the Lakshanas, according to the Janma Lakshanas, you know? Dhamma Ghosh. He was very, very expert at subduing unruly elements in the public, you know? Dhamma Ghosh, you know? Like that. The same thing when you read the 300 names of Krishna's coward boyfriends from Govinda Vrindavanam, you know? And you read Dambanayaka, Darpa, you know, Darpanagara, you know, Darpanagara. He's a dancer that's very arrogant, you know. You know, all these names. Stoka Krishna, Small Krishna, you know. It's all about the characteristics of those boys. They got names according to their characteristics. You think, what do they look like? They must be really far out guys, you know. Keeli Darpa, you know. His playfulness is very arrogant. He plays very arrogantly. Keeli Darpa. Wow, what a personality. Their personality must be far out, you know. That's all you can say, you know. Packaging. You know? You package Krishna consciousness for them, and Gaur Nittai will package Krishna consciousness for us. You know? Right? Keep that in mind. We're not changing. We're packaging it so they can swallow it. Prabhupada did it for us. Right? Just and some Mayavadis would give some problem. That's all right. Just give them a samosa. You know, they're already defeated by eating. You know? That's all right. Give them a samosa. You know. Okay. Honorable. Okay, I got to go pack, and I got to. I don't know. I got to get out of here by 9:15 or 9. You know, 9:30ish like that. Got to get up. Honorable. Huh? Jai Gornatai, Jai Radhavallabha, Shalagram Gan, Jai Kaganath Balai Subhadramaya, Jai Tulsi Rani.